Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Fragonio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities. According to the United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction, disaster risk assessment is a qualitative or quantitative approach to determine the nature and extent of disaster risk by analyzing potential hazards and evaluating existing conditions of exposure and vulnerability that together could harm people, property, services, livelihoods, and the environment on which they depend. The National Disaster Risk Assessment is a document that presents a compilation of knowledge and guidelines from over 100 experts in multidisciplinary fields to respond to the definition of understanding disaster risk and Sendai framework, first priority for action. The document consists of a main body focused on policy guidance, special topics, modules on specific issues within the disaster risk reduction umbrella, and hazard-specific risk assessments, including specialized concept notes and case studies. Welcome to Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More weekly podcast. My name is Heather McLeod, and I'll be your host for today. In today's show, we will address Section 2 on special issues to be considered when designing and carrying out a national disaster risk assessment.
As I dig more and more on the disaster risk reduction topic, I ratify the importance of effective communication and dissemination is critical for the public to understand what is going on in the world, country, and region. When I refer to the public, I mean all people in society, the young and old, male and female, rural and urban, rich and poor, etc. The message must be tailored to a particular audience in order to connect to them. If you target everybody, you target no one.
It is quite interesting to see how to approach different audiences. It reminds me of art. If I go to a museum to see a cubist or abstract paintings, I'm not going to go start by looking in the Renaissance section.
Exactly.
I got an idea!
In modern society, people face different risks, access information differently, and take action on different issues. Separate communication initiatives for target groups are vital to ensure that you connect with people on issues that matter most to them. Let's say that I work for the Water Management Regional Office in Rome. The office has registered 5 consecutive years of low water supply levels, and the water crisis adding to climate change scenarios are expected to exacerbate the resource even more. In the near future, citizens might get used to the idea of a rationed water supply. In other words, to receive water in a certain hour of the day. This is an unforeseen change for today's way of living. Therefore, I believe a good way to start raising public awareness and changing cultural habits could be creating communication campaigns on how to save and conserve our water.
How will you do it?
This is a complex question. First, you have to ask certain questions. How well do you understand the audience? How well the audience understand the risk and what factors influence their ability to take action? What are their priorities? Do they feel engaged in disaster risk reduction? It will be nice to have only positive answers, but that's not the case. In fact, most of the people don't know anything or very little about the risk in their area, and they don't care as long as they are not affected.
So, do you have an idea of how to spread the message?
Of course. An easy way will be to put short commercials before, in the middle, and after a football match, concert, TV series, the news, or even telenovelas. These 5 programs usually bring the highest number of viewers. You know that they are not going to change the channel because they cannot wait for the show or match to go back. So this is a precious opportunity to deliver a clear, relevant, and practical message. The commercial must be personalized to that particular audience.
Wow, that's a clever way to raise awareness to thousands of people in a matter of seconds. Prompting change will require more than information about what the risks are and what to do about them. People may require a shift in mindset, encouragement, discussion, or support reaching a decision before they can take meaningful action.
Exactly. It's a long-term investment. Small changes can make a big difference.
Can you mention more examples of how awareness can be raised using other platforms?
Sure. A catchy jingle can serve the purpose, a dedicated front page of a local national newspaper, or a hashtag that becomes trending topic in Twitter. Another idea is to get people talking, bringing everyone to the table. experts, decision makers, scientists, politicians, students, even celebrities to on-air panels at local or national television to attract the attention of the public. The selected topic should be of high relevance to the public, the aftermath of a flood or wildfire, and thoroughly explain to the citizens the how, what, when, where, and why is important. It is a question of selecting the right media and communication platforms and understanding the needs of the citizens to create an appealing message, including a complete follow-up of the campaign.
Collaboration and strategic partnerships among professionals can improve effective communication. Do you believe the effectiveness of a message is strictly related to the speaker?
Absolutely. Let me give you an example. During the visit to one of the communities affected by the September earthquake, President Peña Nieto from Mexico gave a controversial speech in which he proposed to the victims a method to pay or rebuild all houses together in a sequence, and when the first is ready, then select a family through a draw process. Imagine that 10 families agree to be part of this procedure. He's saying to the victims to put at risk the monetary compensation given from the government to play the lottery and wait for your turn? Are you kidding me? Even if it's a good hard initiative, it's not feasible at all. The family that comes at last will take 30 months to rebuild the home if all the families respect the agreement, of course. Later, this initiative turned into a banter and meme in social media.
Do you think people listen to him?
Of course not. You need someone that has a good reputation and is respected to actually be taken seriously. On show 2, we talk about the importance of delivering an effective message to the audience. I want to emphasize that the celebrity status of some politicians, soccer players, musicians, or models enable them to have the potential of raising public awareness. You know that they are not experts, but they have the power to get people's attention. That's the key. They can be the voice backing your science. You make them read a script, and it's very likely that the public will listen and believe it as an absolute truth.
Quite true. Now it's time to go listen to My Voice 120. We'll be back very soon in communicating disaster risk reduction science and more.
Hi everyone, my name is Miguel Trejo. I finished an Erasmus Mundus Master's degree in flood risk management at TU Dresden, UNESCO ISG, UPC, and University of Slovenia. Currently, I'm working as a consultant at the National Water Commission of Mexico, and besides, I'm collaborating with two NGOs, Water Youth Network and Mexico Sostenible. Risk is the product of certain levels of vulnerability as well as the potential hazards impacts. Mitigation and adaptation are two ways to cope specific risk disasters. On one hand, mitigation is linked to the actions to reduce the effects of either human activities or natural phenomena that represent hazards. On the other hand, adaptation is related to those actions that help the system to be more resistant to hazards. For instance, if we have river pollution as a risk, then mitigation measures could be those actions to reduce the hazard that, for this example, would be the pollution. Adaptation measures could be those actions to enhance resilience in the receptor system to reduce vulnerability.
However, there are still some issues societies are facing to manage risk. One of the main problems is communication, since there is no proper connectivity between all the involved stakeholders. A communication problem could be that the different stakeholders do not communicate between them to solve the problem of pollution. That's why it is important to enhance communication channels, to get more effective risk management processes and to do not duplicate efforts. I have seen that disaster risk management is very often undertaken from a top-down approach. Nonetheless, a bottom-up approach is also needed, which means that local knowledge may be considered to enrich actions that contribute for any disaster risk. For instance, in the example presented, locals could help to feedback about what are the changes that the system has suffered due to pollution, as well as measures that could be suitable according to their needs. For more information, please visit www.waterjetnetwork.org. And remember, active citizens build resilient cities.
We are back and communicating disaster risk reduction science and more. Each country has an official portal in which relevant information is available to the public. For example, guidelines on how to reduce risk and updates on current emergencies, sometimes even tailored for residents in particular areas. The problem is that people haven't even heard about these platforms. Why is that?
Lack of dissemination.
Right. Moving ahead, Section B talks about the importance of investing in probabilistic risk assessment. Can you explain why it is so needed nowadays?
Simple. Probabilistic risk models estimates the potential scenarios resulted from a hazard, including the number of people in risk and economic losses. Let's say that you get a very likely picture of what will happen when disaster strikes. Thus, these models can definitely help in identifying vulnerable areas at risk, the sectors that will be more affected by any type of phenomena, or perform cost-benefit analysis for potential structural measures.
A cross-sectoral partnership between private, academic, and public institutions is a must to achieve reliable results. Organizations like the World Bank, the Global Facility for Disaster Risk Reduction, or GFDRR, and international research institutes are taking the lead in this field, helping the governments to create probabilistic models, a valuable resource for understanding cascading effects of disasters.
That's correct. Disaster can lead to a domino effect. For example, the eruption of the unpronounceable Icelandic volcano in April 2010 had disastrous consequences for the aviation sector. Or the Japan earthquake in 2011 led to a tsunami which triggered the radioactive disaster in Fukushima nuclear plant, causing losses in life, direct and indirect economic impacts in the city and ecosystem.
Okay, now can you talk about the importance of data management and national risk assessments?
Updated data is needed to have accurate analysis or models. Census and indicators are not just numbers, are relevant data that is used for many purposes, from building maps to carry-on analysis and projections. Data involves statistics to special information and metadata. I am part of the open data movement. Some organizations around the world keep the data for themselves. People that create the database and statistics value the data as gold. It is good to have pride on what you do, but at the end of the story, data is only numbers if it doesn't serve a purpose.
What is the role of politics in data management?
Politics are a big player in the game of data management, as well as well-defined parameters, procedures, and methodology, so it can be consistent, continuous, and replicated in the whole country. Communication is key to make sure one entity is in charge of the work to avoid duplication of effort. This is a common issue in Latin America due to bureaucracy and the political party in turn. One of the most common problems at the local level in these countries is the lack of continuity on projects. Let's say that one administration has been working on gathering data for a certain amount of time, and when another party wins the election, they just don't follow the work anymore and decide to start from scratch. This self-pride and I play for my team, you play for yours attitude is one of the many tumors that undermine efforts on effective data management. Fortunately, international organizations and developed countries don't have this problem.
Certainly, the homogenization of data requires the involvement and accountability for entities, stakeholders, data producers, and users from the early planning process to reflect the present facts without biases.
One of the benefits of empowering people by open data is that they can become active users and start a two-way dialogue with the entities, improving the quality of the data, user experience, learning of the platform, and confidence in the results, which can turn into crowdsourcing. The power of people cannot be overestimated. To effectively organize a large group of people to work on a mapping task after a disaster can turn into a challenging task. Nevertheless, if organized correctly, followed by procedures and quality control efforts, it can turn into a gold mine of high quality data.
There's a lot to talk about the National Disaster Risk Assessment produced by the United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction. Next week, we'll continue to break down concepts and explain how they are put into practice.
Don't forget to follow us at wardoc.unistrategy.it and our social media platforms in Facebook and Twitter. And remember, active citizens
build resilient cities.
Goodbye.
Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Fribronio Peña. active citizens build resilient cities.